let's go back now to a time when very few of us are at our best, age 14. It's a stage when many of us don't consider the consequences very carefully before we act. This story comes to us from Derek Erdman. He's been on the show before. He's an artist, a writer, and a lifelong prankster. But when he was 14 years old, living in Strongsville, Ohio, he committed an imperfect crime that would recalibrate his moral compass.
Well, I had a friend, Paul Tempest, and we were both, I guess, you know, somewhat clever, but also not. We didn't have a lot of parental supervision. He had a single father. I had a single mother. We had a lot of time alone. So we spent a lot of time skateboarding. We were kind of like the punk rock kids of Strongsville, Ohio, which is a very behind-the-times suburb of Cleveland. And we wouldn't do overt crimes such as shoplifting or anything terrible, like damaging personal property. I did get arrested beforehand for stealing credit card carbons, and it eventually turned into credit card fraud. But we would just, I would say, innocently up to no good. Paul often called me on the telephone when you had to dial them. Paul had misdialed my number by one digit. As soon as he heard the answering machine message, very excitedly called me and said, "Wow, you really have to call this guy's answering machine. It's, you know, Survivor's Eye of the Tiger with his very dorky voice over it." It was truly like, "Hey, this is Dennis. I'm out looking for the Eye of the Tiger. Leave a message and I'll give you a call back when I'm done looking for the Eye of the Tiger." We sort of made this guy out to be like a real loser. You know, like kind of like a lonely guy with the meek voice who likes Survivor. And as nefarious as we were, I realized that I eventually could change his outgoing message. And us being terrible teenagers, we made the outgoing message possibly the worst outgoing messages that you could. We left so many messages. "Hey, this is Dennis. I've kidnapped a busload of kids and I'm going to drive them off of a cliff. But when I'm done, I'll give you a call back. Thanks." Or like, "Hey, this is Dennis. I'm naked in the bathtub and I'm drawing myself on with a Sharpie. And when I'm done, I'll give you a call back. Hey, this is Dennis. I'm rearranging my house and I'm going to put my couch on my refrigerator. And then I'm going to be naked and run outside in the backyard. But I'll call you back." It was truly awful. Like, truly awful. Having sex with himself in the bathtub. There were like a few like that. We only thought that we had control of this guy's answer machine. That was exciting. But like the repercussions of like a business contact calling him, you know, like that did not cross our minds at all. It was just that we had done this thing and other people could call it and hear what we had done and that it was funny. We were cruel. You know, there were a lot of other kids who were cruel at school, and us being like the alternative punker kids in Strongsville, Ohio, you know, we had funny hair, we had funny clothing, so we were definitely the targets for abuse at school and bullying. We probably turned that bullying to somebody else, onto poor Dennis. So one morning before school, as usual, I went to Paul's house and decided to call Dennis to change his outgoing message one more time. And it was no longer Survivor's Eye of the Tiger. It was just Dennis's voice who said a very simple, "Hey, this is Dennis. I'm not home right now, but I'll give you a call back when I'm back home. And if you're those kids who've been changing my outgoing message, I got you. And you'll be hearing from the police shortly." That whole day was absolutely terrifying. That was when, you know, like the jig is up, you're in big trouble. I definitely realized that these things were very bad. Later that day, while I was in school, two police from the Middleburg Heights Police Department, which was one town over, came in and pulled me out of class. So after being in the police station for an hour or so with the police, Dennis finally showed up. And he turned out to be a school teacher for the Cleveland Public School System, which is a huge school system. And he was just a, you know, a very normal, fit, brown hair, no receding hairline. He had glasses. He was dressed cleanly. I had to sit with my mother and Dennis and three policemen and listen to a long compilation of the recordings of the answer machine messages that we left.
Hey, this is Dennis. I've kidnapped a busload of kids and I'm going to drive them off of a cliff. But when I'm done, I'll give you a call back. Thanks. I'm naked in the bathtub and I'm drawing myself with a Sharpie. Hey, this is Dennis. I'm rearranging my house. I'm going to put my couch on my refrigerator and then I'm going to be
I couldn't help but laugh during one of them because the whole situation was so absurd and I was also absolutely terrified. And eventually I was told by a policeman that it was not a joke and put in a jail cell by myself. After that, I had to sit with a detective and Dennis and explain how I was able to change his answering machine message. I think he was, in a way, happy to have his mind set at ease that people weren't breaking into his house and changing his message. You know, this happened so much that he was convinced that there were kids who didn't like him in his school or kids that he had maybe punished for something in his school that would go into his house and change his answering machine message. And I figured it was probably because they were so cruel that, you know, he thought these kids definitely want to get back at me. Who would just randomly want to change my answering machine to something so awful without, like, harboring some sort of grudge against me? And because of that, Dennis got an alarm system and also got a dog, which I think was a Doberman Pinscher, to make sure nobody was breaking into his house. I felt really bad. That's when it sort of hit me that this person who was faceless and I had a complete stranger, that I had tormented him. And while these things we thought were very funny, and maybe funny because they were so mean, were actually, like, horribly distressing to another human being. After we discussed how, like, the logistics of breaking into his answering machine, we sort of got into school and math and computers and skateboarding, and we talked about movies and sci-fi, and I remember talking for a while, and it became, after a while, just, you know, two people talking in a friendly manner, because I think he felt like, you know, I wasn't just a terrible kid. I was just a kid on the wrong path. So we were able to, you know, meet on a level of just being friendly. He's the kind of person that you would want to be as a teacher, I think. You know, I think he taught for the right reasons because he, you know, loved kids and he wanted to help kids. And so this was the sort of thing that, you know, maybe immediately he knew he was going to forgive me. And he dropped the charges against me, which I believe were harassment charges. About 3 years after all of this, as a senior, I was hanging out with these kids and they decided they wanted to make fake deposits into ATM machines. They would say that they were depositing checks into their account. And it was back then, I think, the ATMs would give you, like, a percentage of the check you were depositing, and they would steal the money, which is a crime that you're definitely going to get caught for. But I remember they were going to do that one night, and I just bought a Smiths record. And I was like, no, I'm going to go home and do English homework and listen to this Smiths record. And so that was a definite thing where I was like, no, I'm going to be good, and I'm going to go to college. So when I was applying for colleges and didn't have a lot of money, so I needed as much financial support as I could get. I had my English teachers at school, but I also was thinking, you know, one other teacher who could show my improvement in life would really be helpful. So I contacted Dennis, and he was happy to, as a teacher, I think. He was sort of like, this could be helpful for this kid. Experiences like this certainly made me learn that you could be creative and funny without being cruel. That was a big lesson that I learned, maybe even later in life, or that just not being cruel at all, even when you're not trying to be funny, is usually the best kind of thing. My mother never really learned that cutting out negative aspects of your life would usually cause you to have a more positive life. And that's something that I sort of figured out on my own, and certainly probably colored by this experience, for certain.